2 Corinthians chapter 1. Going a little bit of an unusual direction this morning from, I suppose, what you normally do on a Sunday morning. I'm not sure what you're supposed to do on a Sunday morning. I've been doing this for 50 years almost, and I still don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I just pick up the Word of God and do what I know what to do, and that's to tell you what it says. And so we trust that God work in your hearts. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. And this is probably a message that oftentimes you might wait till Sunday night, maybe even a Wednesday night. But I believe it is so important we have some understanding in an area because we deal with it all the time. And I find that we are people who often don't know how to deal in the area specifically I'm going to talk about this morning. And I find that we find ourselves, what should I say? What should I do? Because we want to. 2 Corinthians, I'll get it right here. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. I'm going to read the first 6 verses of this chapter. I'm going to be going a progressive matter as far as from one scripture reference to another. And it's one of these messages that it's like algebra. If you miss the first lesson, you may flunk the course. So get the first lesson. That's the base we're laying right now as we read the scripture here, because it's the foundation of the whole works. But then we're going to be putting little steps on that. And please do your best to stay with me on this, because I believe it'll be a tremendous help to you. Let's read here. Beginning verse number 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our Father, we thank you this morning for the privilege we have to enter this house. We thank you for the music you've allowed us to hear and to listen to. Oh God, as we think about the glories of heaven and the choirs of heaven and the music, we just stand amazed at what we are going to have the privilege to abound in. Lord, we thank you this morning that the truth of the Word of God is that which we can relish not only here upon earth, but throughout all of eternity. For you have told us that your Word endureth forever. So, Lord, we thank you this morning that we can deal in eternal things. Not that which just has meaning for a moment, but that which has meaning throughout our lives and really through all of eternity. We ask for your blessing this morning as we look at some very particular things that you have put in your Word. And oftentimes we miss, oftentimes we don't think about. And so, Lord, this morning, I pray that you would minister to our hearts, speak to us. And we pray, if there be one here without Christ, they might realize that he's the author of it all, and they need him. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for standing in honor of the Word of God. If I was to pick a text this morning that I would say to you, this is my text. I'm looking for something. I'm sorry, but I lost something. I need it. We have these little things. It's not to hit people with. So hold my paper down. And I got something else up here too. Anyway, verse number 4. Look at verse 4 with me again. How many, by the way, have a comforter? I'm talking about this thing you put on your bed that keeps you really warm. How many have ever had to have two comforters because the room you slept in was so cold? Yeah, I'm seeing old hands raised because they used to put heat in upstairs of the houses. Sometimes they didn't put in heat in side rooms in houses. Okay. Farmhouse I grew up in, we didn't have heat upstairs. And you went upstairs and you didn't mess around getting changed. And you know, when you told kids to go to bed in those days, if they started up the steps, they were getting to bed real quick. And especially in the winter. And jump in that bed and crawl down under those covers and hope your body heat warmed it up really fast. I had a cheater with me. I had a little dog. And how that dog didn't smother under all those blankets and down by my feet that stunk like who knows what, I don't know. But what a comfort that always was. Pull those up. How many in the morning it's hard to let go of those? Huh? How many of you folks have a hard time getting up in the morning? I'm just trying to find out here. Okay, the rest of you are probably lying. All right. Are you still asleep? Okay. I have a real problem. I don't know how to get rid of the problem. I've had several of them through the years, but every one of my own does it. My pillows grab my head. How many have that problem? I mean, if they grab hold, don't want to let go. Okay. And, you know, if you do have one of those comforters on, they don't want to let go either. You know, my wife's bought one of these really lightweight, really, I mean, the thing feels so good. I mean, that thing, it feels so good. I don't care if it's on top or underneath me. It's just one of those things. And why do you want to get rid of that thing? You know? And so I have this problem every morning. And to grab those and go and throw them all the way back because I got to do it like that is horrible. Comforter. And I think of that when I think of this. Because when you're cold, you need the comfort of a nice warm blanket. Isn't that true? Yeah. When do we need comfort? When we have a need. When we have a need. I have found that people are needy most of the time. I've found that to be true. Somebody said, well, the only time you ever pray is when you have a need. Well, if you're really honest, you're going to be praying an awful lot because you're very needy. Amen? And so God says something here. Who comforteth us when? In all our tribulations. However you want to express that word, whatever the problem, whatever it is that you have a situation with, He is the one who brings us comfort, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. We understand something this morning. The Word of God, as I'm going to take to you in the book of John chapter 16, and what I want to show you this morning is what the Holy Spirit of God does in our lives. And yet we find that what the Holy Spirit of God does in our lives, He wants to do that so often to us and also through us. John chapter 16, you can turn there if you want, but listen very carefully. Verse number 7, He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. And for if I go not away, the Comforter, don't you like that word, it's capital C, referring to the Holy Spirit of God, will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send Him unto you. We learn from that word, Comforter, part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God to us. He is our Comforter. We have needs and problems and situations and tribulations and trials and all these things. He is our Comforter. Well, we're going to go on to see two other things that are very important. In the following verse says, when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. That word reprove basically means He's going to convict us. He's going to convince us that we have done wrong. You say, well, how in the world is that comforting? Well, if you and I figure out that we've done wrong, we can come to God and get forgiveness, and we can have the comfort of the Holy Spirit of God. It's pretty simple, quite frankly. If we drop down a few verses in that same chapter, verse 13 says, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. So I learned the Holy Spirit of God from that text alone has three very major ministries in my life. He is a comforter, He is a convictor, and He is a teacher. In the text that we look at here in 2 Corinthians, we know that whatever our sufferings are, whatever tribulations, whatever troubles we have, He is the one who is going to bring comfort to us as we need. Is that not true? If you've been saved very long, you've experienced that. It is a tremendous truth we find from the Word of God. Now here's something else for you to stop and consider. From Scripture, and I would say also my personal experience, we know that His revelation of truth, in other words, this book we call the Bible, we know that it frees us from everything that seeks to imperil us. It seeks to free us from all that would seek to destroy us. You know the verse, John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Set you free. Now, I don't know about you, but that's comfort. If I have something that is laid upon me and He has set me free, there is comfort in that. For instance, let me give you this. A little bit farther in this book, really, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he says this. Chapter 12, verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, he says, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, the power of Christ may rest upon me. One of the great truths of the Word of God is that His grace is sufficient. Tremendous, tremendous. He says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Many years ago, I sat right here in this spot, and I was sick as a dog. And I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, God, I don't know how I can do this morning. And this came to my mind as I was thinking about that scripture and talking about when I'm weak, that am I strong? I said, oh, God, I am so weak right now, and I need Your strength. I do not know how, but as I stood in this pulpit, I had physical strength, had the strength of God in my soul. What is it? He can provide that. It's by His grace. It's not something we deserve. It's something He wants to give to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, another great promise in the Word of God. When we think about the tribulations that we endure, it says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. He says, He's not going to give you any more than you can handle, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. I remember one time somebody in the church, they came to me and said, boy, that scripture says that, but God is giving me more, and I just can't take any more. I says, you're still standing there, aren't you? God was giving them grace. What they were trying to say is, I don't want any more of this. I'd just like to have everything really normal and not have to experience the grace of God. By the way, when are you going to experience the most but when you're in the greatest need in your life? I like this found in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse number 9. It says, have I not commanded thee, be strong of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. What's the truth of God's Word? Well, His grace is sufficient. He always makes a way through it. He's always there for us. I like the way it says in the book of Isaiah, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. By the way, you're not going to experience that until you go through the fire. God said, I'll be there. The psalmist said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We learn from these verses, we learn from our text, that whatever comes upon us is for the purpose or for the ability to allow God to give to us His comfort. Not only to come to us, but then also through us. God allows it that we might experience it, but also that we might be able to help others experience theirs as well. Now the Holy Spirit of God, when you and I get saved, comes and indwells us. That is tremendous comfort. But we find also that He fills us. If we allow Him that access to our lives, He wants to fill us that we might be able then to be used of Him, not only to receive comfort, but to bring comfort unto others. One of the great ministries of a local church is to bring edification, or the building up of the brethren. When you walk into church on a Sunday morning, oftentimes you've gone through a very hectic, a very hard week, and perhaps you've gone through some problems and situations, and I'm thinking of somebody sitting here this morning, some problems they endured this week, and we walk into church, and boy, what a wonderful thing is that when we get together with God's people, we can have some folks actually build in our lives, and help us through those discouraging things, because the devil seeks to discourage his people. I find some ways he tries to do it through the loss of health, through the loss of substance, and perhaps the pinnacle of all is the loss of loved ones. It's this last one that becomes most difficult for Christians who've experienced the love of God in their lives and perhaps been able to love more greatly than anybody else, and they lose somebody that they care very deeply for. I've experienced the loss of my parents. I've lost all of my brothers now, my last one just a couple of weeks ago. Every one of my aunts and uncles, which were many, are now gone. Had the privilege to preach several of their funerals. Some of my cousins I grew up with are now gone. I've lost two nephews, younger than myself. And perhaps the most difficult of all of my life was the loss of my own son. I've learned two very precious things that people have done to bring comfort into my life. Listen to these very carefully, because I'm going to share with you some things that we ought not to do. One of those things is their very presence. If you were to walk across the way into my office, I could take you to the top bookshelf, the bookshelf just directly to my right, and laying, not standing up with the rest, but flat, is a little book, and it's called The Ministry of Presence. I never had a book quite hit me like that book hit me, as it was talking about, you know, it's not what we say, but it's the fact that we are just there for people. The book was written primarily for chaplains in the military, which I've had the privilege to do with some military people. But it's something that's true all across the board. And I have experienced that perhaps one of the greatest things that's a blessing to my heart is that just the fact that people show up. They're there. What a blessing that is. Another one is their prayers. Their prayers. To know that people are actually praying for you. Marvelous. You may not know what to say when you are with a person, but you can sure talk to God. Amen? You may not know the words, but you can always speak to Him. And by the way, you don't need any words. Very early in ministry, I've told a number of folks this story, but I was called to the hospital, and a family I knew, they had a loved one that was dying. As I walked into that room, here I am in my either very late 20s, early 30s, and somebody said, oh, here's the pastor, he'll know what to say. He's had courses on this. As I thought about what they said, just all this thing run through your mind. Your mind ever work very quickly in times like this? I'm thinking, I don't remember the course. If I took it, I must have flunked it, because I do not remember a course on how to handle situations when somebody is dying. I don't know. I don't know anything about this. And so I walked in, and I honestly, I didn't know what to say. Had no idea what to say, because I didn't have the course. I figured out afterwards, there's not a Bible college in the country that has a course on it. because nobody else knows really what to say. And after a few moments, I said, let's pray together. I knew that on our dinner table, whenever we'd sit down and have prayer together, we would always hold hands. How many of you folks do that? We'd hold hands. By the way, if your children are little, it is a good idea to hold hands, because somebody, I mean, if you had army boys like I did, one of them's going to try to sneak a bite off of the plate before anybody else. And so you held their hands. There's a reason for this. It wasn't just togetherness. And so I said, let's hold hands. And it was quite an ordeal, because there was a number of folks in the room, and I've not always done this, but as they began to grab hands one with another, somebody grabbed the hand of the gentleman who was dying. And somebody on the other side of the bed grabbed, and so the circle we had, and we had prayer. I remember afterwards, I tell this story for this only reason. I was completely ignorant what to do, but I remember afterwards hearing them tell me, it was 2-3 days later, how much that meant to them and what I did. And I'm thinking, I don't know what I did. But when I read that book, I knew what I did. Just there, presence. What do people need when they're going through trials and problems and situations? Presence. Amen. We get a lot of things about social media today and how evil and how terrible it is and so forth. But isn't it wonderful that though they might not be able to be there, they can actually send you a text, or they can talk to you on the telephone. I mean, there is some presence in some other ways. But prayer and presence. What I'm about to say to you is not out of meanness. It's not even a remembrance of anyone particular. Matter of fact, some of the things I'm going to talk to you about, things I have heard personally, but also some things I have overheard. And I'm going to put them in this kind of thing. If we're going to seek to be a help to some people, there's some things not to do. There's some things not to do. I have 7 of them. Number 1, don't tell them the deceased is watching over them. Remember what I said a while ago? The truth, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. By the way, who is watching over us? Who is the one we ought to be really excited about? The one who's going to help us through situations? It is God Almighty, amen? Even if that person knew what was going on, I have my own particular feelings concerning people who've gone to heaven. Why in the world are they concerned about what's going on down here? Is it perfect up there? Why do they want to find out what imperfect is down here? To me, they've been entered into their rest, not to be bombarded with all of our problems. But even if they knew, they're not omnipotent. They're not the ones that are going to help us through the situation. By the way, that kind of talk comes out of paganism and ancestor worship. Now granted, please do not misunderstand, but the memory of the just is blessed. The Bible teaches us that. And the memory of those people can be fresh and can be comforting to us. But I got news for you. Grandma's not watching over me right now. She's not my protector. She's not my helper. She's not my comforter. It is God Almighty. It's the Holy Spirit of God. He be my comforter. Number 2, don't tell them you understand. Don't tell them you understand. Yours may have been very similar. Whatever it is, whether it's a loss of a loved one or anything else, it may have been very similar, but it's never the same. Our backgrounds, our personalities, our circumstances are all different. By the way, 2 brothers can experience the same loss and experience it quite differently. 2 sisters can lose the same mother and experience it quite differently. There might be a similarity, but you don't understand their situation. And for crying out loud, I don't want to hear, well, I just lost my cat and I know what you're going through. By the way, it's not your loss, it's not your feeling, it's not about you, it's about them. You might somehow convey to them that you would love to bear some of their pain. But you're just there with them. I'd rather get a hug than somebody tell me they understand. You don't understand. Nobody does. No matter how good we think we are at these things. Because it's not there. God tells us, who comfort us in all of our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. God wants us to learn from what we have got comfort from Him. Okay? From Him. Don't tell them that the deceased is in a better place. First of all, that might be true. Secondly, it might not be true. If they're saved, they've gone to heaven. If they're lost, they've not gone to heaven, they've gone to hell. It's not a better place. And secondly, that person who's mourning the loss of the individual, though they may know that the person be in heaven, they still believe that the best place would be right at their side. If you come to help me and to give me comfort in those times, if I bring it up, that's fine. Because I know that. I know a year and a half ago where my son was at. And by the way, it was the grace of God that came in my soul and led me and directed me and helped me through all of these things. And it was God's people who were just there, those who were praying. Number four, don't tell them that time will heal. It's a lie. It's a lie. I'll tell you what time does do. It helps us learn how to cope. Over a period of time, we learn how to cope. We learn how to handle some things. But it never heals. It never heals. The loss of my brother 36 years ago is as very real to me today as it was then. That was my oldest brother, 1980. The loss of my father, 1979, was just as real today as it was in that day. The loss is just as much that has not healed, but I've learned how to cope. There's a difference, a big difference. Time doesn't heal. Don't give a false hope in that kind of thing. Don't tell them, oh boy, this is my pet peeve. Don't tell them that you are praying for them if you haven't already and sincerely intend to. I hate the cliche, I'm praying for you. I don't know how many times I look at social media, I look at these kinds of things and I see these things and people are asking for prayer. Many times you'll find a little remark there, they're praying. And oftentimes I wonder if they did or if they ever will. Let me give you something in this. If somebody asks you to pray for them and you say, I will, do so immediately. Do so immediately. Don't wait for later. If you're like me, you'll forget. And here's something about it. When you do so immediately, you're more likely to remember later. Do so immediately. By the way, consider praying aloud with them at that very moment. Don't tell them you're going if you're not. I've seen this happen. How can I express myself here? I wanted to say I'd like to kill them, but that's not a very good way for a Christian to act. Don't stay away because we don't know how to handle it. Did you hear me? Don't stay away because we don't know how to handle it. I heard a guy one time, he said, I couldn't go see my father. I couldn't see him for the last 6 months of my life because he was so withered away and because he was in such bad shape. I didn't want to have those kind of memories. You selfish, no good for nothing scoundrel. That's your dad dying there on your table. Get over yourself. Amen. How selfish can we be in these kinds of things? People need us. How can we minister to people? Our presence. What's a phone call or a text or a letter or whatever? We've taken some time with them. If you can be there, even greater. But don't put off that which you can be of help and blessing because you can't handle it. You can handle it. My grace is what? Sufficient for thee. And lastly, I'd say this. Don't give false hope about the deceased, but show compassion for the living. I don't know how many funerals I've conducted in my tenure. Yeah, forgive me. I'd rather do a funeral than a wedding. I don't know why. Someday I'll figure that out. I think it's because people are in greater need at a funeral, more likely to listen. There's been many times when that person laid in the casket, I looked down and I knew there was never a testimony of Jesus Christ in their life. To everything known to my mind and my life, my heart and my mind and everything would say that person is probably not in heaven but in hell. How can I bring comfort to that individual? If I know that they've got a testimony for Christ, man, that is a comforting thing. I've used that in funerals. And it's something I can look at and say, hey, I know this for sure, which can also give hope to the other individual. But if they're not, I'm not going to look at everybody in that congregation and say, you know what? Oh, Aunt Jane's sitting right there. She's in hell right now. No. I'm not going to do that. But I'm not going to give them false hope. Knowing that probably not true, but I can give them hope. Amen. You see, my job as a preacher, your job as an individual, I can't preach to, I can't help, I can't be of any service to that individual who's lying in the casket, but I can be to the person who's alive. I can tell them about Jesus Christ who saved and Jesus Christ who will help you in every situation you have in your life, who will bring comfort to your life. I can do that. Amen. What can I do for individuals that I can bring comfort to their life? Try to be there. I think of all the times that I've missed. When people have needed just somebody there. Sometimes out of ignorance, sometimes out of laziness, conflicts. Well, people need our presence. Amen. By the way, do you know this? The Bible says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is. There's a reason for that. One is it brings consolation to your brethren. It's a consoling, it's a comforting thing to be able to gather together. I love Christmas time at our house. It is a madhouse at Christmas time. Some of you folks would go absolutely insane if you came to my house for the 2 weeks this last year. They got it on Saturday. My son and my daughter from South, and Matt left Saturday. Andrea left the next Friday. And from the very time they got there till Andrea left, everybody was at my house every night with supper and hanging around. Acting like idiots sometimes because we are well qualified. But I look at that, oh man, it's so neat. You have those things, amen? Wow. Do you guys know? Do you guys know what you do for these two people by showing up with them every Sunday and filling up a row? Amen? Wow. We understand these things. Yeah. And so we bring comfort. How can we do it? We're there. Well, I don't know anything special. You don't need to know anything special. I can't really contribute much. You have no idea what you contribute. You have no idea. Your presence. Amen. Now, who is with you all the way? What did he say? I will not leave thee nor forsake thee. That comes about because we accept him. We accept him. He says, you got me for good. You're not getting rid of me. Amen. No matter, at least no matter how stupid you act, no matter what dumb things come to your mind, I know that never happens to you. Just your husband, I realize. By the way, he's been very sick. But God, he's clung on to you. Amen? Yeah. He's clung on to you. That's neat. Wow. Grace, first time I knew you was, you've grown up so much. Good night. You were much shorter. You were probably 3 once. Were you? Yeah, it's been a little while back. How old are you now? 12. 9 years ago. Wow. I can subtract. When she was 3 years old, if you'd had to cross that freeway, how would you have done it? If you weren't in your car, you were walking. What would you have done, Gary? Grace, grab my hand. Let's go. No. You grab her, don't you? That's what God's done. And he never, ever lets go. Wow. Is that comforting? Amen? He's good. I don't want to shut up this morning. Some of you saying, yeah, I know. I wish you would. Let's go, Lord, in prayer this morning. Father, thank you so much. Marvelous, marvelous truth. Lord, you allow things in our lives that you might bring comfort. That we might recognize the wondrous power, the adorning of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And Lord, you not only do it for us, but you do it that you might use us later, that we might be comforters in lives. Lord, what a blessed privilege to be able to use of you. To be able to be just there. Lord God, what a blessing. I pray that you'd help us understand great truth. We might be a greater blessing to those about us. That we might be able to be used of the Holy Spirit in this avenue. In this one area where he brings comfort. Lord God, that's what this section's about in your word. You bring comfort to us so we might bring it to others. Bless and work on our lives this morning, I pray. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.